Going to continue where Brother Sam left off from this morning. Now the truths that we are about to look into, they are very important. And I want to say the local church are not independent. We had this morning what is in a name. Many times, individuals ask me, which church do you go to? And the question is really an innocent one. But if I ask you, which church you go to, what will you say? Now, you know how those who were in my class at the mission house know what happens in my class, right? So this is how we are going to conduct this evening. Since you decide to take some long showers, since you decide you are going to have me waiting for you to come, have your shower, press your clothes, put on your cream, and all these things, I knew what to do. Listen, I'm very patient. But then when it's my time, so now it's our time. Now, the question I'm going to ask is, if someone, comes to you and say to you, which church do you go to? We want to hear. Which church do you go to? Eh? What's that? Christ Church. He says Christ Church. Is he right? Eh? He is right. You agree with that? 100%. You too. Amen. Let me come over here. You hear what he says. I ask him, which church does he go to? He says, Christ Church. Is that true? Yeah? They agree with that. You too. Okay, wonderful. We are getting, I tell you, what a wonderful group of people. What would you say? Yeah? Grace and Truth. What is this? Grace and Truth. She go to the Grace and Truth Church. Yeah. You wasn't listening? You was late. Church of Christ. Church of Christ. He said he was late. Hey, listen. I have to say, all of you wrong. Okay? The church and people. The church are members of the body of Christ. Brother Sam made that very clear this morning. What the Lord did, he went in, quote unquote, in the world and call out some from out the world that, and then link in the scriptures. But they are saved. And because they are saved, they are members in the body of Christ and they comprise the church that only God can see. No, the church is not a building. No building going to heaven. The Lord is coming to take those that are taken to heaven. So now, what should we call ourselves? I cannot call myself a Pentecostal because no Pentecostal going to heaven. No Baptist going to heaven. No 7 days going to heaven. No Anglican going to heaven. No Presbyterian going to heaven. So who going to heaven? The saints. I need another word. Eh? The church. And another word. Christians. Another one. Who? Brethren. Going to heaven. And this is not small B. This is big B. This means every person who is saved. Small B, sorry. Small B, sorry. Sorry, we should have brought it up. This means every believer is part of the brethren, is a Christian, is a saint. So these things are true of all believers, no matter where they are. So now, this is where it gets tough. Listen, stop me and ask me questions, you know. Because if you don't, I'm going to ask you. This is how it's going to be. Because when you finish, to know why you are where you are. Brother Baxter, could you shoot, brother? This is where we're picking up from. Okay.
One, two.
Thank you. Now, the local testimony or the local church supposed to reflect what the whole church should be. So a local testimony should be a reflection of how the whole supposed to function. So now, despite much contrary practice, local assemblies or churches are simply local representative of the one body of Christ. They must have one teaching, one practice on main issues, one discipline, and one reception. Now, you will find many people ask me where your church is. I would like to know where the headquarters of the fellowship is. Sister Luke, where is the headquarters of your fellowship? This one right in front of me. The headquarters where? The headquarters. Headquarters is above. You hear the answer? Yeah? The headquarters is above. Don't believe that. Tell me where the headquarters is. Where is the headquarters? Eh? Eh? The headquarters is among the saints? Okay. All right. I'm going over right here now on this side. Where is the headquarters of the fellowship? Eh? Where? Chumaka, Barley, Greggs, say Georgetown, Lehu. Where's the one on the island? Mustique, West Penniston, and Kingston. Okay, these are assemblies. Now, hear what happened. All of them are connected to Christ. But there is a problem. All, if you observe, all these assemblies in St. Vincent are connected to Christ. But not only in St. Vincent, there are some in Trinidad. There are some in Jamaica. There are some in Barbados. There are some in St. Kitts, Nevis, Guyana. Coming up. Don't. No panic. Panic. America, Germany, and all these places. St. Lucia. Yes. Sorry. St. Lucia. Any place I missed? Any place I missed? All right. So now, here we are. We are saying, at this point, if all of us are joined linked to Christ by the Spirit of God to the risen head, this is partly right. But something is missing. And what it is this. We are connected to Christ, but not to each other. So this is what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, yes, we are local testimonies linked to each other and to the risen head. That's how it is. So that's why it says one teaching. What is taught here should be taught here. And the Apostle Paul said that in the book of Colossians. The epistle that is read in Colossae, read it also in Laodicea. It was one teaching. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. So now, say for instance, we hear over here somebody saying, Jesus never rose again from the dead. That is not true. There was no resurrection. And these over here says, well, just leave them alone. No problem. Well, what are you making all that fuss about? That if Jesus rose, he rose. No. It's very important. So now what is needed is that the nearest assembly will go over and say, we heard such and such and such and such. Is it true? And there, what they decide, we listen to you. We listening to you. Then the other assembly will come together and look at this matter. Because they're demonstrating the oneness of the body. Now, one discipline. You know, in many places, if you get put out here, you could go to another church and say, well, I don't care about what I'm doing. I don't care what they're doing. I ain't going back to their church. I'm done with that. Because they want to judge me. And God says, you know, you cannot judge nobody. That's what it teaches. But listen, discipline is very important. A house without discipline will fall morally. So what happened when someone is put out here or disciplined here? They are disciplined here, 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 here. When someone is put out here, he decide, listen, I ain't going back, and I go on to another church. You ain't going to another church. It's the same church. And it should be one practice. Now I'm going to give you a quick parable. And I want you to catch this. I came from a family of 12. It's 12 of us. Yep. Big family. And I could remember when I wanted to eat one chicken leg by myself. Because the chicken leg used to be cut up in 3 pieces. And it seems as though all my mother used to do is cook up. And one day I says, boy, one of these days I'll drink a whole sweet drink by myself. And eat a whole chicken leg by myself. I was looking forward to that day. But you know, I was selfish. As they say, greedy. Another word is licorice. All these words we use. But I'll tell you this, what happened. I had a brother. He loved to drink. Loved to drink. We had a birthday party. This is just an illustration. And my mother says, I want you to remember me on my birthday, June the 12th. My mother had standards. Real godly woman. My brother came drunk. The man started carrying on. No, you gotta tell me what I should do. What we should do. It's 12 of us. 11 of us have to make a decision. What we should do. Yeah? Family licks? No man, we civilized today. What should we do? I want to hear what. Shanique, what would you decide? Hey, We have to make a decision. Don't take, listen, you take up our time, you know. You bait so long. Come on. What we should do? This brother came drunk and we have to make a decision here. What should we do? We should let him come through the door? No. But remember this. He is still your brother. So what are we going to do? Tell me. Hold on. Let's hear what she have to say. You go laugh at him. What will you do? Keep him out of the house. Keep him out of the house. But you know what my sister did? She wrote a book and said that my mother starved us off. Never wake us up 3 o'clock in the morning. Wet us down with water. Which wasn't true. And she came to the party. What would you do? Let's hear what you have to say. Let's hear what you have to say. You talk to her first. She wrote a book. She wrote a book and sell the book all over the place. And she come and say about your mother, she starved you. You look well fed. Look how well fed you look. She's still your sister. What are you going to do? Eh? Eh? What you will do? Eh? Whoa! I won't repeat that. What are you going to do? Hold on, I want to hear what he's going to do. Because he feeling sorry for his sister, you see? Go ahead. You put her out. You still talk to her. But you know what, your sister here did? This one here? After you put her out, she leave with a fuss. And she decide, you put her out, I go in and hang out with her. And she went down to her house and spend all night. And not a night, she come and tell you, I stay in the whole week, what you have to say. Yeah. What you have to say? Hey, let me explain what that is all about. There is something called doctrinal evil. There's something called moral evil, and evil or guilty by association. No, my brother who came drunk, or our brother who came drunk, we tell him, you cannot come into the house because it's not the standard and the principles that mom stand for. Likewise, when someone commit fornication, when someone do something that is immoral, we have to do what God tell us to do. Still, he's our brother or she's our sister, and we withdraw from them or put them out of fellowship. Indeed, and the last form of discipline is excommunication. So now we put them out that they may be recovered. But then after our brother indeed decide, and next birthday, now he came back, he's all clean and a suit and tie, and he came to the door and he says, I would like to come in. And some tears in his eyes. You gonna let him come in? Hold on. Go ahead. You look real tough, you know, boy. You look like you'd hit him 2 slaps before he come in. Wap, wap. Listen here. Because the man has changed his ways, you cannot keep him out. But our sister, she had to. She wrote a book. You know how much people have slandered the name of the Lord Jesus? You know some places, you know what they teach? That if you save today, you could get lost tomorrow. That's an insult to Christ. Because you know what they're saying? That Jesus cannot keep you. That the devil could come and take you out of Jesus' hands. Not only so, there are some places who say that the Lord Jesus is not coming back. And they said, well, your church is your church. And that's what you believe. It's not what the scripture teaches. That is what they call doctrinal evil. There are some places also who says, listen, you don't get the spirit until you tarry and something come upon you and you fall down and then after you say, oh, hallelujah, and you start jumping up. Listen, all of that is foreign to scripture. But you know what happened? We are guilty by association. This is true. There was a young lad who went to school with my daughter, my older daughter in St. Kitts. And they were very close. Still is. And what do you think happened? They went to rob a lady. And one guy had a gun. And when they went to rob, just a barbecue stand. And my daughter's friend, with some chaps, three of them went to rob this place. So what do you think happened? One of them went with a gun. And a man that was there says, "Man, why you all come to rob the lady?" Pam, he shot the man, you know. My daughter's friend in school, who she went to school with, was there. The case was tried. The one who shot the man got sentenced to be hanged. My daughter's friend and another, and his friend, the third fella, got life imprisonment. You know what he said to me? He said, "Brother Brian, I didn't shoot the man. All I went to do is rob the place. It's he who killed the man. He should get hung. I shouldn't get life." He was guilty by association. And this is what happens. And a lot of us don't understand, indeed, assembly principles, why we do what we do. We believe, look, the other church, indeed, how they hug up him. Because, listen, that's no go. So there must be some form of order in. Okay? Now, you know what happens at times? I could remember, I had to be one of those who have to tell one of an individual in our meetings, you know, we have to, you know, discipline you. You know what they said to me? Brother Brian, I knew you never loved me. You never loved me. Never liked me. And it's evident now. It's true. I says, that's not true, you know. Discipline is painful. Painful. I tell you, my son, Brother Ashton, could tell you, he's a big fella. When he was young, man, he used to carry on in the meeting. I used to take him outside. But you know, he grew up. And one day, I pick up a stick like this. Honestly. I says, "Listen, boy, you're getting too big for your shoes. I'll go work you over." So I pick up the stick. And you know what he did? He just grabbed the stick and hold it just like that. That's the last time I raised a stick. I realize I have to start talking and reasoning, because the fella was over 200 and something pounds. And see me 130 trying to. So I just give a little tough talk, you know. Just talk tough. But I realize, daddy, you gotta cool it now. Hey, listen, folks. This is the order. If you are going to any place and you cannot go to the other fellowship and be received, something is wrong. And if you leave one and you just walk in the other and says, "They throw me out down there, you know. And I'm not going back." People receive you. Something is wrong. So we have, again, one teaching, one practice on main issues, one discipline, one reception. Let me explain what this word reception means. It means when a person is received into fellowship, it is called the breaking of bread. Okay? Breaking of bread. And there's some young people who don't want to break bread, you know. But it's the dying request of the Lord. The Lord's dying request is, "This do in remembrance of me." I ain't ready yet. You ain't ready? The scripture tells us in the book of Acts that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers after you get baptized. How much in here have been baptized? Raise your hands. How much of you who have been baptized start breaking bread? Hands down. How much of you who have been baptized and not breaking bread yet? Raise your hands. Well, I tell you this. You have to really start looking at that. Because there's no big waiting for you to remember the Lord. The Lord says this, do in remembrance of me. To the church of God which is in Corinth, with all who in every place call on the name of the Lord, on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. This is now the teaching, the church of God which is at Corinth, the local testimony. Paul taught that the same thing and expect the same practice in all the local churches or testimony. So now you find it is the teaching of the scriptures that needs to govern the fellowship. It's not the thoughts of men. You hear people says, one guy said to me, Brother Brian, I'm going to start a fellowship. I says, oh yeah? You read at some places, the founder is bishop such and such and such. Listen, the church was formed at the day of Pentecost. Nobody could be founder of anything. So I asked him, how are you going to start? He says, you know, we do like this at the Methodist church, and we do like this, and I just going to copy it over. Nothing goes so, as we say in St. Kitts. Let's go, Brother Baxter, because we got to run. Christ's name is our only gathering center. You know, as I was saying last week, I appreciate Brother Ashton a lot. Because when I got saved, Brother Ashton was a young man at that time. He's a little older now. And Brother Ashton, I used to go to Brother Ashton's house, and we used to have Bible studies in his ground floor when he lived in Brooklyn. And used to have young people's meeting up in Manhattan. And what happened? He was a stabilizer for my early life because I saw a brother who loved the Lord. But let me tell you this. He was a leading brother in the assembly in Manhattan. That's all he was. Brother Sam here and this brother go to a place called Charles Row Bridge. And he's the leading brother there. Brother Mac is in Bush Hall, leading brother. This brother Mac here, Mac Farrell. This brother Mac, Lehu. And also he came from Oak Room in London. But they are not the head of the assembly. That's many people ask you, who is the head down there? They don't ask you that. And sometimes you says, oh, it's Brother Mac. The head of the local testimony or the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. So when people ask you these questions, who is the head down there? Says the Lord Jesus. Oh, they say, come on, man, come on. They must have some head down there. A body without a head is a monster. You just tell them and continue saying it's Christ. And the beauty is it. They cannot trust Christ. They cannot trust the Spirit of God to allow the body to function locally. Because they cannot see Christ, they cannot see the Spirit. So now, how God is going to control his body? Isn't he God? Yes, he is. Who is the pastor there? Brother Ashton Bristol. It's the pastor. They always ask that. Listen. You know, if we have time, no one man was put up in an assembly. They are brothers. They are brothers. And as the Spirit leads, he used the gift. Pastoral gift is not preaching from the stand. A lot of people believe that, oh, pastor this. Listen, pastoral work is the hardest work on planet Earth. Because when you go and see the young people, they hide from you. They take off. I laugh sometimes. You people are hurting. You have to go see them. People have gone off course. You have to go after them. But then the teacher used the stand. The pastor plies the word. The evangelists go out and win the lost to Jesus. So it's a body functioning under the headship of Christ. If you are a member in the body, God has given you a gift. But I'm not going to pick that up. So Brother Ashton, what do you mean by who is the pastor there?
And the problem is the answer that we do not have one pastor. We have several men who oversee and minister in the local assembly. So we do not have a head. The pastor or the shepherd, that responsibility is handled by several brothers. So I am not a pastor. I am just a brother in the local assembly.
But I'll say this. Pastor is a gift. So Brother Ashton, I can say is a pastor. I can say that.
Yeah, we say not
the pastor, but a. It means pastoring or a pastor is a gift given from the risen head. It's not something I go to school for. And then after I get some ordination papers, and then I come back and says, I am pastor this, or evangelist this, or bishop that. It is the Spirit of God points and show to the saints that this is a pastor or have the pastoral gift, the evangelist gift, the teacher gift. Okay? There are brothers in here who are tremendous administrators. And he says, wait, you think he went to some big college for this? No. He got that from the risen head. Okay? But let's make some tracks. Certainly. Say it loud and clear. Stand up and talk. Stand up and speak. Yeah. Yes. Pope. Yes, Archbishop. Okay, I'm going to start from the last statement. Not our teaching. It's the teaching of Scripture. Let's keep that in mind. No, what he said is this. The Catholics look for direction from the Pope. The Anglicans or the Episcopalians look for direction from the Archbishop of Canterbury. Do you know when that man was getting ordained or inaugurated into his office? He don't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. He don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. He don't believe many things. This is true. He don't believe many things in the Scriptures. But they put him as head. And not only so, when he was at a place called Durham, and when they was, you know, putting on the robe and the peace and all these things, a bolt of lightning strike the pinnacle, pow, and crack it. And some people says, is God speaking? You know what he said? He says, man, that was a divine approval. Divine approval. Heaven sanction it. Hogwash. You know why? Because the man never believed the Scriptures. No, let me emphasize this. We have a head. Let us turn to scriptures, please. It is found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. And also Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. I give you the verses. Somebody find that quickly and read it. You took up our time. We're going to take up your time now. Tell Sister Laverne, no food. All right. You want to bathe all evening. Huh? Yeah, man. We're going to tell. Okay. Who got it? Go ahead. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 and 23. Read loud. 22 and 23. Listen to it. Colossians chapter 1. And verse 18. Now, somebody else. Go ahead. Very good. Now, the fact is this. Look at your body. It represents the truth of the oneness of the body of Christ. And Brother Lloyd is going to open that up tomorrow to us. The head and the body. I am not going to spend too much time with that. But if my head can direct my hand and my foot, why is the headship of Christ? Why Christ cannot direct the members in his body? He is God. He is glorified. And this is what men don't understand, that the Lord wants you to be an expression of his mind. Amen. Wait, everybody have to say amen, you know? Yes. All right, go ahead. Peter. Well, they say Peter wasn't married. That is not true. Then they said, not only so. You know, I'm not going to spend too much time on that, Mr. Walters, because you know why? It's a system condemned by God. It is the Thyatira of Revelation chapter 2. God says, I give a time to repent. God likened the pulpit system to wicked Jezebel. The woman was so wicked that God says the dogs is going to eat her. And Jehu says, just throw a dung, throw a dung. And they threw a dung and the horse just trampled her. And all they found was a skull in her hand. The woman was so wicked. And God says, liken that to the Catholic Church. Now, I tell you, it looks so glamorous when you see the Pope, a man in his garb, and he's dressing and he's walking and all the people, his clothing looks so nice. But that is Judaism. In Christianity, God has taken us from law to grace, from sight to faith, and from earth to heaven. And this is a spiritual, it's not sight anymore. But you know what people want? This is what we want. When we come here, and it says, where two or three are gathered together, in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, if three of us decide to come together, the Lord is in the midst. But you know what we want? We want stained glass windows. This place too simple. This place, man, look at that big place they have down there. And this small little place we have is not the building, it's the person in the midst of us. The divine number, the divine person, and the divine place. This is what's so wonderful. And this is what the disciples did. The disciples came together, went from house to house to break bread. And what do you think? They just met together to remember the Lord. It's simple, you know. Simple. So when they get together, now it tells us, when you say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, are we not carnal fleshly? Denominationalism is of the flesh. When you hear a man says, I'm Baptist, and one man says, we preach, and I say, are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Methodist. I'm born a Methodist. I'll die a Methodist, and I'll raise a Methodist. That's not true. So when people ask you what you are, say, I'm a Christian. And when they ask you which church you go to, says, you mean what fellowship I attend? I go down to the Grace and Truth Hall. That's the name of the hall. You can say that. But I says, then after, if they get too heavy, it says, well, I gather to the name of the Lord Jesus. But be able to explain that. Okay? And you see where it's from? 1820. It says, listen, where the twos and the threes are gathered together. I went to a meeting in a place called Potter's Bar in England. It was five of us. The hall was large. So they used a back room just like this. So they said, let's go in the back room. So I said, back room? When I went, they had the emblems in the back. And we remembered the Lord. The meeting was sweet. And it was five of us. You know, young people, it says, this place dead. They're real dead. Yeah? Five of us in here? Boy, no matter. I tell you, some of you, it says, I wish this over. I can't wait to break loose. When I reach 16, why they think they're getting me back to this place? They're out of their mind. Time you reach 20, you're cut loose. You're gone. But I tell you this, if you get a glimpse of Christ, you'll realize how wonderful this place is. My little daughter, we went to St. Louis, and I left my little daughter by her grandmother. And her grandmother is an Anglican. And when she took my daughter to this Anglican church, my daughter says, wait here. What place is this? This is not my meeting. Grandma, this is not my meeting. Her uncle was an altar boy, you know, go up on the altar. And all of a sudden, she says, what is he doing up there? Just like in the place, my mother-in-law came back. She says, I'll never take your children anywhere anymore. No place. Because she criticized everything about our meeting. Huh? About our meeting. What is this smoke? They're throwing up their grandma. What is this smoke? Huh? Never saw it in her life. Smoke in the place. Say, mom, a fire going off, mommy. Smoke in the place. They don't know what it means. The incense is no more incense. It's the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto God by Jesus Christ. The priestly robe we don't need anymore. Because we are going to see all of us are priests. They are sisters and brothers of priests. And you just don't know. You don't know what God has brought you into. And this is, I tell you, listen, there was a lady in Israel. This is true. Her daughters bought a new mattress for her and pull off a real surprise. Throw out the old mattress. Next thing you know, they came home and they wrapped up the mattress in old man ribbon and all kind of stuff and brought out and said, da-da-da-da! When she came in, she says, where is the old mattress? I said, mom, we throw that out. She said, did what? You did what? In the mattress had $1 million. It was on the news. Man, they caught a car and they head down to the dump looking for the mattress. But I believe the sanitation man, when he pressed in and he saw money coming out, but he said, no way. And he went with that mattress. They never found it. Some of us don't know the value of what we have been brought into. I just brought up among brethren. I just, my mother and father come up in this place. We ain't had no piano. You know. Hey, anyway, let me get to that. Yeah?
I'm glad.
Go ahead.
On that question,
about the head and the foot. If the same people that say that Peter was the first pope, Peter, in trying to prepare Christians, he said in 2 Peter 2, 1, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. If you read the scriptures, you will see that the word of God say that thing is wrong. It's not what I think. Peter said, all of you are priests. You are holy priests. You are royal priests. So they say Peter was the first pope. Peter said to us, look in God's word. And God's word say that what they are saying is wrong.
Let me add to that. I didn't want to go down that line, but since Ashton gone down that line, he is saying he's a vicar of Christ. He's saying he is the absolute authority of Christ on earth. That's what he's saying, you know. Hey, folks, let me tell you this. This is the final authority. The word of God. What this says, you know what the Pope says? Huh? The Pope can say many things. And he's wrong. No, you talk about the sodomites in the Catholic Church. If we found sodomites in our meeting, what we should do? Not send them someplace else to work. We put them out. Discipline them. And not only so, we will not have them around children. No, sir. There was a chap, you know. There was a chap. He was in jail. He got saved. And I told a brother, hey, don't even have him working with the children. Don't even leave him alone. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. And we keep our eyes on him. And we prayed. And he left. When he left, we thank God. We said, oh God, God. He gone. We asked God to get rid of him. We wasn't going to tell him, boy, you get out of here. But we know the tendencies he had. And we said, Lord, if you want him to go, take him out. And the Lord take him out. So I rejoice in he's gone. Hey, let's go on this one. This is a problem with us. You see, one thing black people have is rhythm. We are rhythm. Boy, we love music. Yeah. I'm telling you this. You start some music here, you see what happened. Boy, nobody here will stay still. The only person that will stay still, it might be Sam and Lloyd and that guy. They'll stay just like that. I have to confess, I might bother weave too, all right? But let me say this. This is very important. Very important. Because some of you don't know what worship is. Some of you believe, oh, this big thing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, I lift your name on high. All this stuff and all this shining. Listen. I was asked to take an address at a graduation. The Governor General, the Ambassador from Taiwan, the Minister of Finance, all of them were there and the dignitaries. And you know the protocol, yeah, it says, you know, the Governor General, so cut mud, ba, 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 and all this title behind him. They give me a piece of paper to say it before I start my message. I says, well, the protocol have been established already. And I just move on. But the thing was this. It was in a church hall. To my surprise, all of a sudden, six girls just jump out and do so. Whoop! What? Their foot went up in the air and they made a flip. Pow! I said, wait here, Brian. You're in the right place, boy. What craziness is this? And they put on a dance. And at the end, the moderator says, what a tremendous praise dance to the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you where that started, eh? That started in a place called St. John of the Divine. Ashton know where it is. That's the first place it started. Because that place is so ungodly. So ungodly. That there's where praise dance started. The preacher was preaching and the girl came. Interpreting the sermon. Stupidness. But it catered to the flesh. That's what people want. People want to be entertained. But God, the church, or the place where the church gathers, the flesh should be kept in check. And this is what people don't realize. It is not what we prescribe for worship. It is the Spirit who leads worship. And the Father seeketh worshipers. And they that worship Him was worship Him in spirit and in truth. Liturgy describe a form of rites prescribed for public worship. All things are to be orderly. Because I know when you go certain places, you know, there are programs set up. Who is going to pray first? Then the hymns that are going to be sung. And we'll have a solo by such and such. And you are going to read the scriptures. And then the sermon. And after the close of the sermon, we'll have a little news announcement. That's not worship. Remember this, worship is giving to God. It is giving something. It's not we coming, tell him you're in this class, eh? Call him back and tell him right now. Tell him don't disturb you anymore. He sent a text to? Let me see what he said. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we keep this in mind. That it's the Spirit's order we want. Not people's order. No, we come to the meeting. We come to the meeting. And you find we sit around the emblems. I've been at a meeting, you know. And nothing was said. No hymn was sung. And a brother got up and break the bread. And give thanks. I was young in the faith. And after the brother got up to exhort. And he says, did you hear him singing this morning? I said, who is he speaking about? Didn't you hear him? I was puzzled. And the brother turned to Hebrews chapter 2. He's singing praise in the midst of the assembly. I tell you, brethren, it was such a quiet, sweet meeting. At times we forget this meeting is not for me. Not what I could get, how I feel, is for the Lord. And we come to breaking the bread expecting to get something. Bring something for the Lord. And once you bring something, you are going to get something. So it will be empty. It will be a humdrum. It will be just a mistake if you just come expecting something from God. You get something to bring for Him and you see what happened. So don't ask the brothers, listen, set up. We got to change this meeting, you know. We got to, because really all we come to do is sing some hymns and a brother get up and give thanks and just break the bread. Hey, we are going to discuss that. The priesthood, as Brother Ashton was saying, we're going to discuss that. The lights come on down there. Just now they're going to eat. All right? But I cutting into your eating time because you cut into my time. So it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all, for the body. But one and the same Spirit worketh all the gifts. So now, what did it say? We'll stop right here. Okay. Now, anytime you see people have a thing, divine worship, and they have a whole program, run for your life. The Spirit of God is completely left out. The Spirit of God has come nearly over 2,000 years ago. He has not left yet. People forget this. All we are thinking about, true, the coming of the Lord Jesus. But the Spirit of God has come. And He's still here. And it tells us, all things are to be orderly. But the order is to be the Holy Spirit's order, not man. And this is what really burns us up. Burns up. Are we always spirit led? No. Are we always in the mind of the Spirit? No. But it's our desire to have the mind and the Spirit of God use us for the glory of God and for the lifting up of the name of the Lord Jesus. And there is the Spirit's work in us. To manifest is to give the gifts a profit to all. One, the same Spirit, work it in all. Before we close, any questions? Because we got, there's one. Hold on. You have one question. Any more? Okay, you have one question. Any more? All right, three questions. Go ahead. Stand up and speak. Brother Kennard, you're going to make a longer thing here. Yeah. Huh? True, true. Very good. Excellent, 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 excellent. That's an excellent question. You think so? Excellent question. No, this is what ought to be done. Because you have to take into consideration the person's spiritual level. You cannot, spiritual brothers cannot judge a youngster based on their level. If he calls a hymn, like, you know, crossing the Jordan, you know, like, say for instance, one hymn like, from every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of war, there is a place of calm retreat. You know, I saw a brother did this. He got up after the brother got out, gave out the hymn, and he read it. He says, we'll read this hymn. And he read it. And as he read it, he punctuated, there is a place of calm retreat. There is a place of calm retreat. I have done it, you know, as a young man. Give out him left field. And I tell you, the brethren was so gracious. It's only after I started to grow up, I realized how ignorant I was. Because they were so gracious. They sang it. So I look back at happy years amongst the brethren because the brethren covered my foolishness, you know, and they showed me great mercy. But one day I used to give my testimony, you know, what God saved me from. And I could remember a brother called me and says, listen, done with that foolishness now, eh? Okay? People don't want to hear about you. People want to hear about Christ. There come a time you need to grow up. But if after 5 years, Sister Luke, that brother still doing that, something wrong. Something wrong. But what we do, I talking about, I personally, if a brother asks to be in fellowship, I am going to teach him what it means to approach the table, how to give thanks for the emblems, how to approach it, what to say, how to say it, and likewise show him hymns that relates to Christ and explain his priestly function. I am not going to let him get some things by osmosis or just waiting to see by example. It is our responsibility to teach the young men to take their place intelligently. Okay? Intelligently, that you'll be an intelligent priest. Not like Zachariah. He was dumb because the angel came and said to him, you're going to have a son. Who, me? And he was in the presence of God. Question quickly. We gotta go. Brother Sam, you want to say something? I see your hand move. Okay, bro. I didn't say so, you know. Yeah. Yes. A yo-yo style? Yeah, this man, boy. Yeah? So this is my style. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Sure. No, sir. Yes, sir. Assembly, this is, we'll get to that. Boy, so much questions. Assembly meetings, the breaking of bread, the prayer meeting, and the open ministry is strictly assembly meetings, cannot be planned. The gospel, oh yes, we could decide we're going down by the corner. We could ask a brother to take the meeting. That is going towards the world. We're reaching souls. But when it comes to assembly meeting, the breaking of bread, fellowship, the open meeting and the prayer meeting, be very careful. That's God's country, brother. That's God's country. Yes. Yes. Just confirming that you're in the spirit. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there's a man right now who, a professor working at a university in St. Kitts. And I go to the university on Wednesdays. So he asked me, his wife said to me, he's in Romania. I say, Romania? I just came back from Romania. So there was some kind of connection. So he asked, where do you worship? So she said, I went to the Baptist and I'm not comfortable. But what he did, apparently they called and asked, give them directions to the hall. He came, but I wasn't there. He came back the next Lord's Day and I was there. He said, I got up and I spoke on inquiring of the Lord. Saul never inquired of the Lord as long as he lived. It's only at the end of his life when he was in trouble. And God neither answer him by dreams, by Urim, and by prophet. God's not answering you. But David always inquired of the Lord. And that was my message, the gist of it. You know, he came after the meeting and he says, I think this is where the Lord wants me to be. I was inquiring of the Lord what to do. And I believe the Lord spoke to me this morning. Last Sunday, he brought his wife. Now he and his wife coming. And know something? He was sitting way up in the back. He was in almost the fifth seat in the back. And he up front, singing. He says, I went on the website. I don't know where he went. And he found out about brethren. The man could have told me about our dispensational truths. About Mr. Darby and the coming of the Lord. The man could have told me about men among brethren. Like he went on some website and started digging up about these brethren people. I have to say, I felt proud. Oh yes, man. I stand tall. I say, amen. I say, now what are you going to do? I says, I can't invite you to this table, you know. It's not mine. It's the Lord's table. And if you come, there's a privilege and a responsibility. The privilege is yours for every Christian to remember the Lord. But there is a responsibility for breaking bread. Oh yes, you are saying you are going to maintain the headship of Christ. You are going to say the Spirit of God is going to run things here. You are saying I'm going to be a doorkeeper, that things that are contrary to Christ, I'm not going to let come in. He paused. He says, you know, I never heard that before. You know, strange things today, you know. And tomorrow, I go in and cut down on your break time, on your recreation time. You hear that, Mr. Walters? I was robbed. We were robbed. So now, you and I have to decide when we cut off, because the kitchen opened their window and it's time for us to eat. All right? This chap here. What must I say? Say nothing, right? Be gracious. Amen. Amen. Be gracious. I say be gracious. Be gracious. And this young lady here. I should be gracious too. All right. You hear the man begging for all of you all up there? Listen, we are going to do better tomorrow because we have to finish this. This is very important. And I know there are questions. Let's close in a word of prayer and give God thanks for the food. No, there was some in my class who really want to discuss salvation, their soul salvation. We are open. Brother Sam, Brother Mac, Brother David, Brother Mac, Brother Lloyd, Brother Ashton, Chriselle, myself. You could come to any one of us if you would like to know how to be saved. Let's close in with a prayer, please. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank thee for the privilege of opening up the truth concerning Christ and the assembly. We pray indeed, O God, as Brother Lloyd will open up the headship of Christ in relation to the body, we ask that you will give all the help that is needed. But now we pray indeed, in simplicity we have seek to open up some truths in relation to this wonderful subject. And we ask you will give us the insight, illuminate us, that we'll be able to grasp the spiritual import of these things. We ask now to bless the food that thou hast provided for us. Help us to eat and enjoy it as we give thee thanks for it. And we pray, blessed God, that thou in thy grace will help us to continue enjoying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These things we ask, Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. No, I have a repentance. I have to repent. I got up this morning and I told you that we are not going to have any optional reading. I took that decision on myself. Well, you know what? You have to understand. I have to reverse that decision. And so we are going to have an optional Bible study tonight. It will be to 10:15, the book of Titus. Everybody will be here. 9:30 to 10:15. It's not optional anymore. Okay? All right? So you are dismissed. So remember that after the open ministry,